Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
What makes any community a good place to live? And when you're choosing one, how do you balance those things against all the things you want to change? I mean, if I could make a perfect Canadian community, I would want a small prairie town's affordability, BC's weather, Quebec's childcare, Toronto's hospitals, Montreal's culture, Vancouver's restaurants, a tiny Ontario village's crime rate, a golden horseshoe economy, and Alberta's sales tax rate. Now that doesn't exist, so we all do our own cost-benefit analysis when we're choosing where to live. And that brings us to an annual project that attempts to incorporate all the factors that I just mentioned to determine which actual community is Canada's best. It's kind of an impossible question to answer, because everybody's looking for something a bit different. And of course, even when we know what we want, a lot of us, especially in Toronto or Vancouver, can't afford it anyway. But if you do, crunch every bit of available data that you can scour from hundreds of statistics repositories across the country, then you end up with at least an interesting place to start. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Claire Brownell is the reports and rankings editor at Maclean's. Hi, Claire.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm going to do it on the desk, but Claire will probably dub it in because I can't even do a proper drum roll on the desk. But tell me, what is Canada's best community?
Canada's best community is Burlington, the suburb of Toronto that's west of Toronto.
Burlington is fortunate to have a beautiful and publicly accessible waterfront along the shores of Lake Ontario. And in our north, through the cliffs of
the
Niagara.
It is also part of the Hamilton-Niagara Economic Region, which is a big reason why it was Canada's best community, because it has all the benefits of proximity to Toronto and all the amenities and entertainment options and job prospects that offers, while also being part of that booming Hamilton-Niagara economic region, which has seen huge growth in housing prices and population and is doing really well.
What kinds of things, and I'm going to ask you specifically about what goes into Burlington in a minute, but what kinds of things do you measure to put this ranking together?
We look at 10 different categories and try to think about all the things that can be measured that make a community a great place to settle down. Obviously, you can't measure everything. There are all kinds of intangible things.
So list the 10 things that matter.
They include wealth in the economy. So we look at incomes. We look at the unemployment rate. We look at growth in full-time jobs. Affordability. So those two sort of balance each other out.
Right.
We also look at, does it have affordable housing? How much of your income do you actually get to keep after spending money on necessities? We also look at population growth. The more, the better. We look at crime. The lower, the better. Weather, putting a lot of emphasis on warm winters. Access to healthcare. Access to amenities. So that's things like, is there a university nearby, a college nearby?
Right.
Are there lots of bars and restaurants? And culture and community. So we look at, are there a lot of people working in the arts, and how engaged are the citizens in their community?
I can see why Burlington would score highly in a lot of those just by virtue of its proximity. But how do places like Burlington, in Ontario, but also adjacent to huge cities elsewhere in Canada, do for affordability?
Suburbs of the large cities tend to do really well in this ranking because they benefit from that combination of the strong job market, because people can commute into the city while also being more affordable than the city itself. So that's definitely a trend you see across the country, is that the outer municipalities, the outer suburbs of the bigger cities do better than the big cities themselves.
So what is it about this region then in particular that leads to, were there other cities from this region high on the ranking?
Yeah. So the Hamilton-Niagara region did really, really well in the ranking this year. 3 out of the top 10 are in this economic region. The other two are Grimsby, which is a small town that's sort of between Hamilton and St. Catharines, mm-hmm. and Niagara-on-the-Lake, which most people know for its wineries. And yeah, I think what the ranking is trying to, you know, basically bring to the surface is that if you're going to live in the Hamilton Niagara region, sort of why not live in, you know, a nice, quiet, small town that offers access to, you know, the culture and engaged community and all the other great things that a small town has. And you can still drive to somewhere like Hamilton or Toronto if you're really committed to a long commute for work.
And you don't need 7 figures to buy a house.
You definitely do not need 7 figures to buy a house, especially in the Niagara region.
How does this break down across Canada in terms of, well, you mentioned 3 of the top 10 are in one little pocket in Ontario. Without listing all of them, what do you see in terms of regions when you crunch the numbers?
Well, in terms of provinces across the country, we see, so Ontario completely dominated the top of the ranking. Mm. They took 28 of the top 50 spots. And I'm sorry for any of our listeners outside of Ontario who love to dunk on Ontario.
They already hate me for talking about Ontario too much, so this is not going to help.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I'm sure I'm going to get lots of blowback for this. But when you look at the numbers, there's a reason why it's the part of Canada that has the most dense population in the country, because the economy is really strong, with mm-hmm. Toronto being the economic engine of really a lot of the country. The weather is quite good compared to most of the other parts of the country.
Right.
It has some of our small towns have the lowest crime in the country, and our access to healthcare is really good. So just when you're looking, you know, surely at a numbers-based ranking like this, Ontario tends to come out on top, regardless of your personal opinion about Ontario.
What's second?
Second is BC. So BC also did really well. Again, it's got Vancouver, that real engine of the economy. It's got weather, great weather. It has pretty low taxes, BC, low sales taxes, low income taxes, which is another category we look at. So yeah, BC also did. And it also, yeah, it has some of the lowest unemployment rates in the country right now in BC.
How much of the top, I don't know, 50 or 100 are dominated by Ontario and BC, and then what region comes after that?
Yeah, so it's 28 of the top 50 are Ontario, 16 of the top 50 are BC, and then it really drops after that. So the third most is Alberta, which only has 3 communities.
Really?
That is largely because of the just sort of boom and bust economy of Alberta. I'm sure once oil and gas, you know, recovers again, it'll make a much stronger showing, but because it's, you know, it had a bit of a recovery for a while, but it sort of started to slow down again. And that's really,
right.
you know, raised their unemployment rates to a lot higher than there are in other parts of the country and really hurt them in the rankings. So Alberta for now, not doing so great. I'm sure it'll come back. We've got 2 Quebec communities that are in the top 50. Again, like Quebec gets hurt because it has high taxes, some of the highest taxes mm-hmm. in the country. We've got 1 in the prairies, that is Weyburn, Saskatchewan. The prairies in general suffer because of weather, crime, and labor statistics, because they're also pretty dependent on the oil and gas industry. And sadly, sorry, Atlantic Canada, but there aren't any in the top 50, because it historically, you know, struggles in terms of unemployment rates, labor statistics, has lower incomes.
Hi there, I'm Gavin Crawford. I'm a writer, an actor, and a comedian. And for the last 8 or 9 years, I have been navigating life with my mother's increasing dementia. Has it been sad? Yeah. Has it been funny? Also, yeah. That's what my brand new podcast series, Let's Not Be Kidding, is about. It's the true story of my life as a comedian, my mom, and dementia. Let's Not Be Kidding, with me, Gavin Crawford. A new 7-part series from CBC Podcasts, available now.
So I'm going to speak for all the people in Atlantic Canada and Alberta and Quebec and the prairies. Isn't this all subjective? I mean, how do you pick which categories and which ones do you leave out and how do you weight them? Because I'm assuming some must be weighted more heavily than others.
It's definitely subjective. This is just sort of based on our own personal opinion of what would be important to the average person. Obviously, you're not the average person and I'm not the average person and everyone reading the ranking isn't. People have different priorities. But, you know, we weight wealth and economy and affordability equally because I think that's something that, you know, people really try to balance when they're trying to pick a place to live. But then in terms of the other categories, I mean, would weather be worth 10% of someone's decision on where to live? For some people, it might be more. For some people, it might be less. So that's why, yeah, online we offer a tool so that people can adjust the weightings of the categories and come up with, you know, their perfect community based on their own priorities.
Do you go through and weight them differently for different classes of people who might be using them? I'm talking about myself mainly because once you have kids, for instance, which we did just a couple of years ago, I know that my ranking of where I'd want to live changed drastically based on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we offer three sub-rankings, one for the best communities for families, one for retirees, and one for new Canadians.
So what are those?
So the families one is we change the weightings a little bit. We increase the weighting of crime. We increase the weighting of affordability. And we also add some categories that aren't in the main rankings. So we add the cost of an access to daycare, and we add the percentage of families with children. And
so does Quebec like shoot way up when you
do
that?
Yes, Quebec does very well in the families ranking, much better than in the main ranking.
And what other categories do you sort for?
We also have retirees, best place to retire. So in that one, we completely get rid of the labor statistics because you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about finding a job. You're retired. And we increase the importance of weather and healthcare. And yeah, interestingly, I think this is not a place that many people would think of as the ideal place to retire necessarily. But again, the numbers suggest that it's Toronto, just because, you know, when you increase that access to healthcare importance, there's really no better place in the country to be if you get sick, if you develop a chronic illness, if you need emergency care. You're going to be right there at some of the best hospitals with, you know, the best medical professionals in the country. And Toronto's weather is not known for being great, but compared to the rest of the country, pretty good.
And I guess by the time you're retired, hopefully knock on wood for a lot of us, you might even have enough money to afford to live in Toronto.
Well, that's the, you can, you know, something that people can do, lots of people do, is downsize to a condo.
Right. Right next to the hospital strip.
Exactly.
Listen, that's my plan.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, it, again, it totally depends on what kind of retirement you want. If you want that sort of quiet, small town retirement, that might not be for you, but you also might want to think about what happens if you have a heart attack in the middle of that rural small town and can't get to a hospital for, you know, an hour's drive. It's something maybe people should put into more consideration.
And what's the last category?
The last ranking we do is the best communities for new Canadians. And this year, again, it's sort of one that you might not have thought of as the best place for new immigrants, but it's Grimsby, which I talked about earlier as being one of our top communities in the Hamilton, Niagara region.
How do you weight these factors for new Canadians?
For new Canadians, we increase the importance of the labor statistics, so the unemployment rate, growth in full-time jobs, things like that. We increase the weight of affordability, and we also add a category that looks at linguistic diversity, which, talking to professionals, that is the best way to look for what a diverse community is, because it suggests that, you know, not only is there diversity there, but the culture in the community is thriving if people are keeping their mother tongues that are different from English and French. So Grimsby actually had, you know, it's a more linguistically diverse community than you might expect. About 20% of its residents speak languages other than English and French. And it also, you know, like I was saying, it offers that those benefits of living in the Niagara region where housing prices are affordable. Mm-hmm. You can drive to all, you know, to jobs in Hamilton, to jobs throughout the Hamilton-Niagara region, or if you're really committed, you can drive all the way to Toronto for work. And it's somewhere that, you know, might be something that new Canadians aren't really considering, but maybe they should.
So far, we've talked almost exclusively about small towns and suburbs and places on the outskirts of big cities. How do the big cities themselves do? Where do Toronto, Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, et cetera, show up on this list?
Urban areas generally do well, largely because of the importance of access to amenities, access to hospitals, things like that. So, and also because they tend to be centers of economic activities. But, you know, in terms of the cities themselves, so when you're talking about not just the suburbs of Toronto, but the actual city of Toronto, same thing, not just the suburbs of Vancouver, but the city of Vancouver, generally they tend to excel in some areas, things like access to bars and restaurants, obviously. They tend to be really close to the top, access to healthcare, other categories like that. But then they tend to also really suffer in other categories, namely affordability.
Yeah.
where, you know, both Toronto and Vancouver are close to the bottom in terms of affordability. Because when we consider affordability, we don't just consider the housing prices, we consider the incomes. And the median household income in the city itself, as opposed to the suburb, tends to be lower. So you get hit with that double whammy of it's really expensive housing and you may not have as much money to afford it.
So where did Toronto and Vancouver end up then?
Toronto is our 19th best community, which is actually, you know, that's really good. But it got beaten by quite a few sort of Toronto surrounding, you know, greater Toronto
right,
and greater,
and
yeah,
yeah,
greater Golden Horseshoe.
Places.
Yeah, exactly. Vancouver fared not quite as good. It is 112th compared to the rest of the country.
Out of how many places did you measure?
415.
Okay.
Yes. And Vancouver has the dubious distinction of being the least affordable place in the country. It ranks worst in that category of anywhere.
What about in Quebec? What about Montreal?
So Montreal is the 64th best community in Quebec and 296th in Canada. Again, that's out of 415. So similarly, it's, you know, it's great for commuters. It has a high percentage of the population taking transit to work. That's another category we look at. If you want access to amenities and entertainment options, it's second only to Toronto. So, you know, really excels in a couple of categories like that.
So how does it finish so low? And it's known for being fairly affordable too, right?
Yeah. So it's fairly affordable. But again, when you factor in that income factor as well as the housing price, that it's really not that great. So the average housing price is $523,000 right now in Montreal, which is a bargain compared to Toronto and Vancouver, obviously, but it has lower, significantly lower median household incomes than either of those two cities. So that hurts it in our affordability ranking. And also it has all those unfortunate drawbacks that come with living in Quebec, like the taxes are higher and the weather isn't that great.
Okay, so not to pick on anyone in particular, except that I'm going to ask you to do exactly that. What was 415th?
So unfortunately, sorry, Mountain View County, Alberta, but you came in 415th this year.
Where is Mountain County, Alberta?
It is between Calgary and Red Deer, and it's one of those towns that's really dependent on the oil and gas industry, sort of a boom and bust type place. And unfortunately, it is right now in bust mode.
Right.
And so it had, you know, its poor labor statistics combined with Western Canada has much higher crime than the rest of Canada and weather, you know, put it down in the ranking. But I'm sure, you know, again, because of that boom and bust cycle, I'm sure it's not going to stay there.
How quickly can these things change?
They can change pretty quickly. The labor statistics can change quite a bit from year to year. Right now, across the entire country, honestly, even the places that have, you know, quote unquote, high unemployment rates, they're still pretty low. Almost everywhere has under 8% unemployment right now, which I think is what economists say is sort of your average or ideal unemployment rate. So yeah, it depends a lot on the economy, which is regional from place to place. It depends on, you know, the housing market. If we ever had a major, that major housing crash that everyone keeps predicting in Vancouver or Toronto, we've had a slowdown, but not a crash. That would affect things a lot. So yeah, they can change from year to year, but there are certain things that don't change that much, like Quebec having high taxes.
What are some of the most interesting, weirdest, et cetera, things that you discovered about various places in Canada? Because I'm sure when you go through this, you end up finding a few outliers.
Definitely. There are quite a few things that end up sort of jumping out at you and other things that are just fun to look at, you know, who did the best and worst in certain subcategories. I like the subcategory we have of the percentage of the population biking to work. If you're an avid cyclist and you want to be around a lot of other cyclists, you should move to Victoria, where 6.7% of the population rides their bike to work. If you're an arts person and you want to work in the arts and be surrounded by other artists, you should move to Whistler, BC, which has the highest percentage of artists in the country, with 5.7% of the population working in the industry. And if all you want is, you know, get me a cheap place to live, I'm sick of trying to afford rents in Toronto or Vancouver, I don't care about anything else. If you're a renter, you want to move to Latuque, Quebec, which is in north central Quebec, and you can rent a two-bedroom apartment for $432 a month.
That is also an amazing name for a town.
And if you want to buy a house, the cheapest home prices in the country are in Elliott Lake, Ontario, which is a popular community for retirees. The average house there is
$130,000. $130,000. Sounds nice.
Imagine that.
Yeah. You did all this work. You crunched all these numbers basically yourself.
I did, yes.
After looking at everything in this report, where do you want to live?
So one place that really jumped out at me that I thought was interesting is Salmon Arm, British Columbia. And if you read my feature in Maclean's Based on the Ranking, I interview somebody who moved to Salmon Arm from San Antonio, Texas. And it's just, it's a little town in the BC interior. It's for a long time been known as a vacation destination for Western Canada because it has access to the mountains and great hiking trails and a lake and all kinds of nice stuff like that. But it also, it's in the Thompson-Okanagan economic region, which sort of similar to what I was saying about Grimsby, it's, you know, there are other jobs that region's doing really well. You could use that as sort of a home base to commute to other jobs in the region. You could also, if you are able to do this, you could telecommute. According to the mayor of the town and other people who live there, that's what a lot of people are doing if they have the ability to and live in a beautiful little mountain town with, you know, all your food locally grown and knowing all your neighbors and affordable housing prices. And it just sounds like a really nice place to live that I'd never even heard of.
Amazing. Thanks, Claire.
Thank you.
Claire Brownell is the reports and rankings editor at Maclean's. And that was The Big Story. If you'd like more from us, if you'd like to tell us that you are not from Burlington and you're very angry, you can find us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can also yell at us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. You don't have to yell. And you can download us and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, on Google, on Stitcher, on Spotify. Leave us a rating or a review. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.